welcome to Life Before Vinyl on Resonance 104.4 FM. This is Adrian Tutnam, and I'm going to be your guide as we ramble through a miscellany of sounds from the forgotten past. And in today's programme, we're going to go back into the past to a time when gramophones were unknown, but mechanically recorded music in another form was actually flourishing. 150 years ago, many villages would have been proud of having the very latest thing, a dumb organist. To find out more about this mysterious thing, for I was led to believe it was a thing and not a person, I went to visit Bernie and Anne Brown, who run their own private mechanical music instrument museum near Portishead in Somerset. When I arrived, I had no idea what half the items in this amazing collection of mechanical musical instruments were, but I did recognise one of the biggest items, an Aeolian orchestrelle. So I asked Bernie to play a tune on that first. He chose something that everybody knows, The Teddy Bear's Picnic by J.W. Bratton. That was The Teddy Bear's Picnic, played on Bernie Brown's Aeolian Orchestrelle. A few weeks earlier, I'd been told that Bernie also had one of the few dumb organists in the country still in working order. But I hardly dared admit at the time that I hadn't a clue what a dumb organist was. I soon found out. Thank you. Now, Bernie, when you told me you had a dumb organist, I had to stop and think what on earth you meant by that. So perhaps you could explain what exactly is a dumb organist.
A dumb organist is a machine. It's almost a sort of robot player operated by a barrel, in the sense of a barrel organ, and it pushes rods, which then press directly on top of the keys of the organ.
And why on earth would anybody want one of these things?
Well, it comes from a transitional time from when churches were changing from pure barrel organs to finger and barrel organs. So if the organist wasn't there, it could be used in his stead.
So churches started off with barrel organs, did they? How did that happen?
Well, originally churches had their own orchestras, those church bands. They made a fair sound, they had a great selection of violins and clarinets and bits and pieces. Gradually, the mechanical organs were introduced into churches, and of course the church bands became no more.
Did they actually have barrel organs rather than the organs that we know today?
There weren't the players around. No, there was nobody to play them. Gradually, people, as they musically developed, then there came to be organists that could play. But the very first ones tended to be barrel. And some of them were quite large and quite sophisticated.
So what sort of date would this have been?
The church bands ran from Cromwellian times. And it was great involvement of the congregation to play with the singers in the church. So it was a very animated service in those days. You can't help feeling that the coming of the barrel organ did away with a lot of that sort of thing. Around about 1800, the late 1700s, early 1800s, the barrel organs were becoming more and more popular. They really came from France. Everybody started making them, and then they started to introduce them into the churches. They were sort of quickly adopted. Some people would argue that the church bands were such a cacophony of noise that the coming of the barrel organ was probably a bit of a godsend on the congregation's ears, because in those days anybody that could pick up any kind of instrument seemed to join in the church band and play. So it must have been quite something to have heard.
Right. I'm sure some of the people who do West Gallery music will have something to say about that. Yeah. So after the barrel organ, there came this organ, which is a dumb organist. It sat on the keys of what sort of an organ?
It sat on a pipe organ. The pipe organ was made by Walkers, as was the dumb organist. And it locked in on a couple of pegs to locate at each end of the keyboard. Unlike a barrel organ, it's fully chromatic. It plays on 44 notes and it's continual scale all the way through. So it would hopefully sound almost like a human being playing, and what I like to think it does.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you find this particular example?
This one survives. It was found in Portishead Parish Church in St. Peter's and had always been there. And people had said to me, oh, there's the remains of a barrel organ in the church. You really must go and have a look at that. And of course, I never did. And then one day I picked up the Music Box Society magazine and saw there was a dumb organist advertised for sale in Portishead. Of course, I quickly realised that's what it was. Went down, looked at it, and I bought it.
You're listening to Life Before Vinyl on Resonance 104.4 FM. And this week we're visiting Bernie and Anne Brown's private musical museum near Portishead. Bernie was just telling me how he acquired a derelict dumb organist automatic organ playing mechanism from a local church.
And so you brought it back home?
Yes.
And then?
Well, it didn't play, of course. I bought a complete wrecked box. I had to set about repinning both barrels.
Now, you better explain pinning. What's this term, pinning?
Right. Each barrel, it's like a large musical box cylinder. Probably the best way to describe it. But the notes are sustained. So instead of being little projected pins, they have brass staples of varying lengths, which produce the length of the note. So they lift a key. When the key comes into contact with a little staple, it lifts the key up, it pushes a rod down. The rod then pushes the key of the organ, which then sounds the pipe.
Right, so you set about restoring this. Where did you get the spare parts?
Well, of course, the thing is you can't buy flat brass wire to do this. You can only buy round brass wire. So I had to then buy the brass wire, then anneal it with a blow lamp. So heat it up to red hot and then let it cool. So it softens the brass, makes it workable. And then I made a set of rolls, rather little small, rather like a mangle, you know, that you would see in somebody's house, the old-fashioned mangle, but made out of steel. And then I flattened the brass wire and then put it to shape, made a gauge for the different lengths of notes and for the height. And then I set about repinning. It's a very tedious task, I can tell you. It took me 4 weeks to repin the barrel.
Gosh. Yeah. So you think you've now put the barrel back with exactly the tunes on it that were in the original church organ?
Yes, very much so. I copied exactly the parts of the pins that were remaining. It's faithfully what it was. Put it onto a Triser harmonium, which is a pressure reed organ. It's not quite as old as the dumb organist, but it's in that era. It's the machine is 1898 and the dumb organist is 1859, but they match quite well. It took a fair amount of juggling and experimentation to get the thing to play, and getting the barrel set to the right height and getting the repetition right on the keys and making it not drag. That's to say, not to have notes sticking on. And finally, after about 5 weeks of playing around, I managed to get some sense out of it and make it play.
And how many tunes are there on the barrel?
There's six hymns on each barrel. They're interspersed with each other. They side shift by one tune each time.
So when you say side shift, what exactly happens?
Well, the keys lift off the barrel, and it physically has to be moved sideways. And there's a blade at the end. It's called a knife. And it's dropped into a groove, and that groove registers it. And for each groove, it's a particular tune on the barrel. The barrel's driven by a worm gear, which is turned by a handle. And you turn the handle in a clockwise direction. It engages with a large wooden gear on the end of the barrel and turns it. And you've got to turn it quite fast to make the speed up.
And what provides the wind for the organ?
That's my foot pumping on a bellows down below. It's a bit of a balancing act because you've got to kind of stand on one foot, pump with the other foot, and turn the handle with your right hand.
Well, having found out what a dumb organist was, I asked Bernie if I could have a look at the rest of his collection. The next thing he showed me was so compact that at first I couldn't work out what it was supposed to be.
Well, on the table here now is a curious box, just over a foot cube, made of polished wood, and it's got a bit of mechanism and a handle and all sorts of things which suggest that it's a musical instrument. What actually is it?
It's called a gem roller organ. It's a very small form of barrel organ, and it plays 24 notes. It does play reeds, it's not a pipe organ. Very popular in America and mainly manufactured in America. The tune is arranged spirally on the barrel to extend its playing time, because normally the limiting factor with a barrel organ is that everything has to take place in one revolution of the cylinder. And on a small cylinder, that doesn't give you much time. So what they did is they arrange a tune spirally. It will do 2 1/4 turns, and it follows a worm gear, and it drives it longitudinally along the keyframe. And you'd have a hard job to recognise a tune, because being spirally arranged, it's even more unrecognisable than a conventional barrel. Well, they look rather like an oversized broom handle with a series of tacks tapped into them. They were incredibly mass-produced. There was a machine that could copy and implant these pins into the barrels. So there was a master barrel, and it fed for a system of levers, and there was a reiterating hammer which tapped these pins in. It was the only one that ever did that. All the others were hand-pinned.
Actually found these in America?
Oh, they would have been used by travelling preachers going across the prairie, and perhaps he's got his daughter and his wife with him, and she'd probably be cranking away at this thing, playing at him, and he'd be preaching on the side of the road or some small town in the Midwest or possibly the Wild West, I don't know. I mean, they were in houses as well, of course.
Thank you.
You're listening to Life Before Vinyl on Resonance 104.4 FM. This week we're visiting Bernie Brown and looking around his private museum of mechanical instruments. After the little gem organ, my eye was caught by a much more imposing instrument. In fact, it would have been better described as a piece of furniture. It looked like a slightly overgrown upright piano, with a keyboard at the front and a mechanism which I imagined was for playing paper rolls.
This is a Wilcox and White Symphony Player. It's a role-playing American reed organ, and it plays a 58-note full-scale roll, so it's a fully chromatic scale. It has four rows of reeds. It's not a tremendously complex instrument, quite small, and it was a parlour organ designed for home entertainment. They were never cheap. People that owned these things were quite wealthy.
So what sort of repertoire of music would you expect to find for one of these organs?
Well, anything you care to mention. You could have grand opera, you could have light classics, you could have even ragtime, which wasn't considered to be very popular amongst the people that could afford to have them, but I'm sure the children would have enjoyed it.
Well, after all those hymn tunes, the thought of a bit of lighter music was very tempting. So I asked Bernie if he could load up one of his ragtime rolls. As this is all we're going to have time for this week, this is Adrian Tuddenham, thanking you for listening and looking forward to your company next week, when we shall be continuing our tour of Bernie Brown's Mechanical Museum. In the meantime, back to Bernie's ragtime organ roll.
So shall we try a piece of ragtime now? What's
yes.
this called?
Aunt Jemima's Birthday. The top of 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 the top of
Thank you.